You know, one of the things, yeah, they deserve that. One of the things that always makes it easy for me is I always know I can mess up and blow the whole message. Because at least you can walk out of here and say, you know, the music was good. And so I always know that, and that's a big comfort to me. So thank you, band and worship team and you guys back there in the booth that often get forgotten. Thank you for such a great job. And so we're glad that you guys are here. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here. And we're just honored that you've come to hang out with us today. We're wrapping up a series about prayer. And it's been a really cool series for me, just really digging into some scriptures and being reminded of some promises that have been made to us, and just really the gift that prayer is. It really is the most powerful weapon that we've been given and powerful tool that we've been given to do the things that God wants us to do and really just have this whole communication with Him. And that's what prayer is. It's communicating with God, which means that we're able to talk to Him and He talks to us and we're able to go back and forth. And week one of the series, we learned some things about prayer. We learned, how it really comes apart, that we need to be honest with God. We need to be gut-level honest. He wants us to open up to Him and just be honest with Him and talk to Him about the things that matter to us, because if it matters to us, it matters to Him. And that we can continually pray. We don't have to worry about being a certain place, a certain time, or in a certain posture. We can pray continually to Him. That's what He wants us to do. And then we need to understand that He wants us to have a part in our prayer where we listen to His response. It's really the most important part, is to listen to Him. And so we need to be able to do that. Week two, we talked about kind of a different thing. Why don't our prayers get answered? And we talked about how important it is that our relationship with other people is where it needs to be, that we need to forgive people and be forgiven, that's key. And if we're not willing to do that, then we're really not where we need to be with God. And so there's no debating that. That's a biblical principle that is more than proven through the Scriptures. So we need to make sure that we have our relationships good with other people and forgive and be forgiven. But we also need to understand that there's a piece that goes in to understanding that our lifestyle matters, as well as where we are in our faith, that we believe that God can hear our prayers and can answer them. We need to have that where it needs to be. And so those are key pieces to prayer and having our prayers heard and answered. And then most importantly, having our relationship with Him where it needs to be. If we don't have a relationship with God, listen, I got to be really honest with you. If you have no relationship with Him, then He's not hearing your prayers and He's not going to move in your life. He's not going to move in those places that you're praying. And so we need to have a relationship with Him, understanding that God sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for us, to pay the price for our sins, so that price is paid, we can ask forgiveness and be forgiven. But then also God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. So now there's not only forgiveness for us today, but there's forgiveness for us and a restored relationship with God forever when we confess Jesus as our Savior and allow Him to enter into our hearts. So there's a real key piece to having our prayers heard. Last week we talked about the things that we need to seek in prayer, that we really need to look for in our prayers to make sure that He's hearing them and that He's moving in our lives. And we use the Lord's Prayer as the model for that, because that's what Jesus gave us to know how we are to pray. So those are some key things that we talked about. And today we're going to be in the book of Acts. And so if you have your Bibles or your phone app or whatever, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 4. It's where we're going to be. If you have YouVersion Live on your smartphone or tablet, go ahead and get it up, because we're gonna be digging through that here in just a moment. But Acts chapter 4 is where we'll be. Now, I was thinking about prayers, and as we talk about bold prayers, man, that's a whole new step for a lot of us, to be praying some big things. Because some of us in the room are maybe new Christians, or we're kind of scared of this whole prayer thing, or maybe, you know, we don't really know how it works. And so I was trying to think back this week what it's like to be a new Christian or new to the whole church and Jesus thing and hear people pray around us. And so I heard a guy kind of talk about his experience, and I think maybe it'll help some of us understand it as well. Check this out.
I remember going to church as an adult, right, for the first time when I started going to church. And I would walk in, and the pastor was like, he said, "I want you to pray with your neighbor." And I'm like, "Well, my neighbor don't go to this church. I don't know if you mean..." You want me to call my neighbor on the phone? That's creepy. I ain't gonna do that. Right, then they explained to me, right, your neighbor is a person sitting next to you. Listen, I'm brand new at this Christian stuff. I didn't even know you're supposed to pray out loud, let alone with this lady. I don't even know this lady. What am I supposed to pray about? Lord, help these bumps go down on this lady's face. I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what I'm supposed to pray about, right? She went first. She was praying all good, and she must have been John the Baptist's little sister or something. She was like, Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word in the 6th chapter, the third verse of the book of Matthew, the 601st word on page 1248. Lord, you said, but seek, S is in search, E is in everywhere, E is in excellent, K is in kingdom. You are the Alpha, Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. I'm thinking, man, she even knows his nicknames. Now it's my turn to pray, right? But I don't got the spiritual vocabulary to just, but I'm not gonna let her outpray me. So I'm like, okay, God, first of all, you are good people. You know, you are good, Lord. You are good. You are good to the last drop, Lord. Because, Lord, I just gotta obey my thirst, Lord. You know, because choosy moms choose Jesus. So, Lord, because. No, as the rocket's red glare, Lord, it gave proof to the night, Lord. I believe I can fly, amen.
All right. So nothing else, you laugh today. Good, you know, but that's how we are. Prayer is a very interesting thing, and it's very confusing sometimes, but hopefully we've begun to bring that down to a level that we can all understand. But today, as we talk about bold prayers, listen, we're going to have to stretch a little bit because many of us have never prayed bold prayers. And so I want us to talk about that today and help us be able to do that. Because here's what we need to understand about bold prayers. What you pray for reflects what you believe about God. What you pray for reflects what you believe about God. Now, that's a big deal, because we need to understand that for some of us, maybe you are here and you don't pray at all. Well, that says a lot about what you believe about God. If you don't pray at all, then you either believe he doesn't exist, that he doesn't care, or that he's got too much other stuff going on to worry about you. That says a lot about what you pray about. If you're praying small stuff, and you're just praying for the most simple things and the small stuff, then that believes that he's a small God. You believe he is small and that he can't do anything else. If you're praying all the time about yourself, and if we're honest in the room, that's where a lot of us are. We pray, God, help me, comfort me, give me, you know, do this for me. If that's your prayer and the primary way that you pray, let me just tell you, you believe God is your servant, that he is some cosmic spiritual genie that's just there to help you and to do the things for you that you want done. And that says a lot about what you believe about God, if that's the way you pray. And again, I think that's where a lot of us spend most of our prayer time is do this for me. And so we need to think about that. Because it's a key thing. For some of us, the language we use when we pray and where we get to with our prayer says a lot about us as well. If we're in this, you know, tough situations and we've, you know, we're trying to muddle through life and we're trying to make these things happen in our lives and we're going through tough stuff and we finally get down and we say, you know, all I can do now is pray. Well, if you've gotten to the point where you say, well, all I can do now is pray, then that says a lot about what you think about God, that he's very much at the bottom of your list, that he's inferior to you, that you can try everything else that you know how, but that he's on the bottom of the list because now that's all you got left. Well, let me just kind of tell you that's upside down. It's kind of like putting tithing at the bottom of your budget. You got it backwards, okay? because really it needs to be, prayer needs to be the first thing that we do, and then be able to listen for his response like we learned in week one, and then do the things that he asks us to do. But we have this prayer thing really mixed up, and what we think and believe about prayer, what we pray for, says so much about who we believe God to be. If prayer's your last resort, then I'm just telling you, you've put God in the wrong place. But here's the thing. I think for some of us, we need to really examine what our prayers look like. Because here's the thing. I want you to take a minute, and I want you just to think about in your head about the things that you prayed for just this week. Think about your prayers. Now, you got some space on your program that you got, or you know, grab an envelope in the back of the seat in front of you, and you can just write this down before you put it in the giving box. Did you catch that? Anyway, never mind. If you didn't catch it, I don't know what else to do. But anyway, here's the thing. Write down some things that you prayed about this week. Just two or three things. What were they? Think back. If maybe you're thinking, you know what, I don't remember what I prayed about. That's a problem. That says a lot about what you think about and believe about God, because you don't even know what you prayed for. So here's the thing. Jot them down and think about what the key is to those. Now, maybe, you know, if you don't want to do that, at least think of a couple things. Now, what if you got those things maybe in your head, on your list, whatever? What if God rubber stamped yes to all of the things that you prayed for this week? I mean, you prayed for this, yes, yes, yes. And he just yesed everything and made it all happen. If he did that, how would the world be different? How would the world around you and around us, how would the world be different? What would be the changes? I think if we're honest, if God rubber stamped yes to everything that we prayed this week, the only world that would really be different would be our world. Us. You know, for some of us, you know, we're praying, you know, single people, you're praying for somebody, right? You're praying for that person to come along. You want that 10, you know, that 10 person, whether it's a guy or a girl, you want that 10 to come along, and then you're, you know, just hoping that it'll be a Christian on top of that, you know, that it'll look good, smell good, laugh good, talk good, all that good stuff, and then there'll be a Christian. So you're praying that, you know, with that, your world will be a little different if that would happen. Maybe you're praying for, you know, your spouse to be different, you know, and so your world would be different. You're praying for finances, and if that happened, your world would be different. If your job situation, and that would make your world different. We so often get wrapped up in, and if we were to look and just think about our prayers, if God gave us everything that we prayed for, the only changes that would be made would be in us and around us. We don't often get outside of our own influence. We don't get outside of that. So what did you pray for? And if God said yes, what would it change? I know one of the things that I've learned so much, because often we get into praying and we want this to happen and that to happen. And one of the people I've learned so well from about prayers outside of myself is my wife, Kelly. Because she, listen, if you ask her to pray for you, I know she will. And I know what she'll pray for you too. She won't just pray that your situation gets fixed. She will pray that whatever has caused the situation, the deeper parts of it, will be addressed as well. I've learned so much from her about how to not just pray for me or pray for the surface, but to pray deeper down into what the cause of those things are. And sometimes she takes some heat for that, but that's the way to pray. And that's the way to address things, is to get deeper into it and understand that there's more to it than just the surface level. And I've learned so much from that, and we can learn that too, that we need to be able to pray outside of us. And when people come and say, hey, I need you to pray, then we don't just pray specifically for that thing, but that we pray for the things that go around that thing, because usually there is a cause and there's way much more to it than just what is on the surface. And so I love the fact that we can pray that way. Those are big prayers. And when those prayers get answered, listen, it doesn't just fix her world. It fixes the world around other people. And that makes our world better. And that's the way we need to pray as believers. So let's dig into this book of Acts, because we're going to find that we're to pray boldly and to pray big things if we're going to pray the way that the early Christians prayed and pray the way that God wants us to pray. So here's where we're at. Acts chapter 4, we know that in the book of Acts that some amazing things have already happened just early on. You know, Peter's there, John, they've been preaching. Peter preached and like 3,000 people came to Jesus in at one time. Listen, if we saw that happen, you know, here in Stanley County, it would be crazy. And I just got to tell you, I believe it can happen. But I don't know that we're praying for that, right? But here's Peter. He's preached, shared a message, and 3,000 saved. We see them walk by this paralyzed man. He's been paralyzed for like 40 years. They pray over him, say, get up, and he gets up and he can walk. Amazing things happen. People witnessed it, and you know, there was lives changed because of it. But the religious leaders find out about it, and so they get upset. You know, Jesus has just been crucified. They thought they fixed the whole Jesus problem, and all of that's gone. But here are these guys, and they're creating some issues. And so they have them arrested. They bring them in. They try them. And really what they want to do is they want to do the same thing to them that they did to Jesus, but they know if they do that, man, they're going to have a mess on their hands. So their hands are kind of tied. The only thing they know to do is to let them go, because they fear the backlash of it. So they let them go, and Peter and John go, and they go back to the other disciples. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. I mean, I'm sure they had said some pretty nasty things and made some pretty big threats and everything else. So they go back and tell them. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices, what? Together in prayer to God. Now, here's what they did. They didn't go and cower in some corner. They didn't go and say, oh, if they're going to do all that, we need to move on. Or, oh, no, I'm going to offend somebody if I say something. No, what they did was they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray, and then we're going to do whatever God tells us to do. Whether it's right, wrong, whatever, no matter what people think about it, we're going to do whatever God tells us to do, and we're going to allow him to do it. There is something about coming together and praying about something and allowing God to move in the middle of that situation. Listen, lots of us are praying about things on our own, and listen, there's power in that. But I'm telling you, when we as believers come together and begin to pray things together, there is a power that is unbelievable. Now, I got to tell you, I am not one of those pray all day kind of people. I don't like the 6-hour prayer meeting. I don't like to go and just get on my knees until I can't, you know, until my toes go numb, and, you know, we get together and we cry and swap snot and all that stuff, and, you know, all that stuff together and pray. I that's just not me. Okay, and that's okay if that's you. It's just not me. I would just rather come and acknowledge God for who he is, let him know what's going on, and move on, because I believe that he is that kind of God. I believe that all we got to do is say it once. We don't have to say it over and over and over and over and over again. We just got to pray it and believe it and allow him to move in it. But now, when we come together in those things, you know, there's some weird stuff that happens in those kind of prayer meetings. There's the whole hand-holding thing, right? And there's this real uncomfortableness to it. You know, the whole over or under. You know, and you fumble hands, you know, trying to hold hands. And then there's the people that try to interlock your fingers with you. And that's nasty, okay? It just feels gross. I don't like it. You know, I'm cool with my wife, but I don't want some dude's fingers interlocked in mine, you know? So don't interlock fingers with me. I'm going to break your fingers. I'm just telling you. All right, so it's just not going to work. I don't know. I just don't like it. But, and then you get the other person that's got the dead fish hand. You know, it's the limp, slimy, sweaty hand that comes over to you, and it's like, oh, it's just nasty, okay? So like, I just don't like those kind of prayer things, because there's just some weird stuff that happens in the middle of it, right? So I just want to come, and I want to get on my knees together, and we can get in a circle and all that, and let's just pray hard. Let's go at it. Let's give it to God and just know that he's capable of handling it. right? But I believe that coming together, putting our voices together, putting our direction together is the most powerful thing that we can do as believers. There is just this thing about being able to lift up those voices to Him. When we pray with someone else, there is an agreement that takes place that allows us to just be encouraged and strengthened in the things that we ask God to do. And we need to be able to do it. I love the fact that between our 9 o'clock service and our 10:30 service, that our volunteers gather out here in the lobby in a circle and pray together. It's really cool. Now, they hold hands, so it's, but anyway, that's cool. They hold hands, it's just for a short time. But they hold hands, and they pray together. And what they're praying for is the fact they're asking God to do something in the service in your life and in their life that only He can get glory for. They're out there asking that when people come in here with a rotten attitude, that God will move in their life and lift them up out of it and encourage them the way that they need to be encouraged. They're asking when people come in here with difficulties in their relationships that God will move in their lives and help them to make the adjustments they need to make and to see something incredible happen in the marriages and relationships within this room. They're praying for people to be healed. They're praying for people that are sick. It's amazing to be able to see that happen. And they do it every week. And you're welcome to get here at 10 and pray with them if you'd like, because lots of people aren't even volunteering. They're just hopping in there with them and they're serving. But it's a power that happens. You can sense God is there. And here with the believers in Acts, there was something amazing about this moment that they came together. In verse 24, they continue on and they say, "O sovereign Lord." Now, sovereign is this word that I think we miss out on the meaning of. Sovereign means that He is it. He is it. He's the end of the line. He is the creator. He is the one in charge. He is the one above all else that puts God in this amazing place that only He deserves to be. And that's how they begin this prayer to Him. "O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, You spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit." Now listen, the Spirit is still speaking to us and still encouraging us and helping us to understand the things that God wants us to do. And you need to understand that the Holy Spirit is important as a piece of the prayers that we pray, and we need to hear when the Spirit is speaking and moving, and we need to make sure that we're in line with that. Verse 27 says, "In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, Your holy servant, whom You anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to Your will." They are acknowledging the fact that even though a lot of bad things have happened, and people have been against them and against Jesus and against the whole movement of Jesus across Israel, the truth is that it was all part of God's will, that even though they had to go and endure some negative things, that God's still moving. And sometimes some bad stuff's got to happen for good stuff to happen. So listen, just because something negative happens in your life doesn't mean that God's not there. It just may mean that something's got to happen that direction to move us in the direction that we're supposed to be. So they are acknowledging what God is doing. This whole acknowledgement is putting God in the place that He deserves. And listen, when we pray, we need to make sure that God is exactly where He deserves, that we are putting Him in the place that He deserves in our lives, to make sure that we acknowledge that He is the one that answers prayer, that He's the one that answers these bold prayers that are about to be prayed. See, here's the thing. We pray sometimes half-hearted, lukewarm prayers. We pray these little, "God, just be with us. God, just guide me." Just real simple stuff. When He's wanting us to pray deeper and bolder, to allow Him to move and do the things in our lives that He wants to see happen. So today what I want us to do in the remainder of our time is I want us to talk about the two bold prayers that you and I need to be able to pray to see Him do something in our lives. Here's the first one. We need to pray for boldness. We need to pray for boldness. Not just boldness in our prayers, but we need to pray for boldness in our lives and communicating the gospel. Acts verse 4, verse 29 says, "And now, O Lord, hear their threats." Now, they were threatening the elders and the religious leaders. They were making some pretty big threats. And they're like, "Hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word." We don't know exactly what they threatened, but I'm sure it had to do with being dead, okay? I'm sure there was some pretty bad stuff that they had been threatened with. And they say, "Listen, God, hear those things, but give us boldness to not worry about it, to not be worried about what they're going to feel and say and think, but to do what you tell us to do. Give us that boldness." And if I'm looking at this, you know, this whole thing, we need to be way more bold. Because I believe we've become a society where we've put individuals so far ahead of really where the gospel needs to be. We've put in these rights and all of this stuff ahead of the gospel. And listen, that is not what the scripture teaches us. And we need to be able to understand that there is boldness that needs to take place. That we need to understand that our prayers have to be able to take us outside of ourselves and outside of where we're comfortable, and be able to pray for God to do some great things within our lives, to take a gospel to a world that needs to hear it, the good news. Listen, we sit on a street corner and thump a Bible. Well, we don't have to hold a sign and scream at the top of our lungs. We just got to live our lives out the way that God wants us to. And when people wonder what's different, we just have a chance to tell them. I mean, that's one way, obviously. We can go outside and we can begin to tell people and we can go knock on doors, and those are great things. But the reality is, if we're not willing to live it in our own lives and have the people around us see us boldly being who God wants us to be, then how in the world are we going to go to some door we don't know somebody at? And so there's a boldness that we need to be able to have right where we are. Boldness takes us beyond ourselves. People, if I ask, "Have you prayed for boldness in your life?" People are like, no, I can't do that, Ron. That's just, I get uncomfortable with it. But the truth is being bold takes us out of self-centeredness to other-centeredness. It allows us to be able to speak to people and share with people about their needs and to help them see a better life and more answers to the questions that they have. We typically pray for, you know, "God, you know, help me make that A on that test. God, help me have that job where I can make all the money that I need to make. Help, God, help me, you know, to have the, help me do this, help me do that." But when we have boldness, we begin to get outside of ourselves and begin to pray, "God, help them have the relationship they need to have. God, help them do what they need to do on that test. God, help them, you know, have the marriage that they need to have. God, help them." So we need to get outside of our self-centeredness. Pray for boldness, that we'll be willing to think of others more than ourselves. Boldness is one of those things that I'm telling you, if you pray for it, you'll get it. And you need to be ready for it. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to pray for boldness, and you're going to find yourself praying by the dog food in Walmart. I mean, really. You're going to have people come up to you and say, "Hey, will you pray with me?" And here's what most of us do. Somebody comes up to us. We see a buddy in Walmart. "Hey, what you doing?" "Nothing much, man." "Hey, will you, I know you're a Christian, will you pray for me and this situation?" And we say, yes, right? We always say yes. But what do? We turn around and we walk off. And maybe like a week later, we say, "Oh, you know what? I need to pray for that." But here's what I want to challenge you to do. The next time you see your friend at Walmart and they stop you and they say, "Hey, will you pray for me with this?" You know what I want you to do? I want you to stop right where you're at, and I want you to pray. Now, they may be a little uncomfortable with that, but listen, you've been praying for boldness, right? So you're going to be pretty bold. But let me just tell you, if you do that, God will do something. His spirit will calm them, and I'm telling you, it'll be like church, you know, in the dog food aisle. It'll be amazing. You just need to do it. Because when God prompts you and gives you opportunities to pray, you need to be bold and do it. Now, if you're driving down the road, you're talking to somebody on the phone, and they say, "Hey, will you pray for me about that?" You know what? Pray with them right there. Just keep your eyes open, okay? But pray. Just don't wait. Because it happens so often that we miss those opportunities because we're just not willing to be bold and do it where we're at. Pray for boldness. Pray for God to allow you to minister the places that he gives you opportunities to. Tell you, one of the greatest things you can do for somebody who doesn't believe is for them to actually see you have that kind of faith and that kind of trust in a God who is wanting to do something in their lives. Just pray right there. It may be uncomfortable the first time. It may be a little bit more comfortable the next time. But let me tell you, by the third time, you'll be good to go. Just do it. Just pray right where you're at. The second kind of prayer that we need to pray is to pray for miracles. Pray for miracles. Now, I know for some of us, that's just the checkbook will balance based on what we remember we spent, okay? But I'm talking a little bit bigger than that. Here's what chapter 4, verse 30 says. It says, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They're going to pray some big prayers. The disciples know they're about to pray for some stuff that's big time. And they're asking God to be right in the middle of it. And for us, if we're going to pray boldly and if we're going to pray for miracles, listen, God's going to he's going to do some of those things. We're going to see some miracles happen if we pray for them to happen. They're going to pray for sick people to get better. They're going to pray for dead people to rise. They're going to pray for, you know, demons to be cast out. I mean, it's some crazy stuff if as we're just kind of thinking in our society and how we have kind of dismissed so much of that. But the truth is so many of our prayers are the exact same thing. We need to pray for boldness, and we need to pray for miracles. So often I hear people pray prayers, and they're like this. God, thank you for today. Thank you for today, God. I thank you for today. Listen, he knows you're thankful for today. You know, he gets that. And he's like, come on, you need to pray something different. You've just been praying that same prayer for 40 years. Just pray a little bit. Let's go a little deeper with the thank you for today kind of prayers. Some of us have just been praying, you know, God, just, you know, give us traveling mercies today, God. Just give us traveling mercies. Get us there today. God's like, listen, I bet if you'll just buckle your seatbelt and you'll drive the speed limit and you'll stay awake, you'll probably be okay. You don't have to make such a big deal about that. Now, we can ask him for that. Listen, it's important. But I'm just saying we get so stuck on something so small and we don't go past just the typical kind of safety. You know, God, here's the one that gets me. God, be with us. God, be with us. You know, I'm pretty sure the scripture tells us that he's already promised to be with us. So we don't need to worry about that. We don't have to pray that all the time. He's already said he would be. We need to make sure we're with him. That's kind of what we ought to pray more than him be with us, is God, help me be with you. But the truth is that we pray some very small prayers and some very simple prayers. But I'm telling you today that the power of prayer is that we can go and take bold, miracle-type stuff to God and allow him to do amazing things in it. To pray for things that Ron can't get credit for, but that he can only get credit for. Those are the kind of things that we need to be able to pray. Pray for something big. Pray what you believe about God. If you believe he's a big God who does big things and can do miracles, then guess what? You need to pray that way. Because how you pray and what you pray for reflects what you believe about God. Now listen, we've been praying small stuff. And so does that mean that we really believe he's a small God? We need to pray for boldness. And we need to pray for miracles. Pray bold prayers. But what if it doesn't happen, Ron? What if it doesn't happen? Does that mean that God really isn't God? You know, then if you pray that kind of prayer, remember we said, we talked about a couple weeks ago, hey, why doesn't God answer my prayer? Sometimes there's reasons why he doesn't. Most importantly, that it doesn't line up with his will. And so sometimes we throw that in there to kind of give him a way out. I don't believe God needs an escape clause and anything. I believe that we need to pray big prayers and believe big things, and then just know that if that's what he wants to happen, if that lines up and brings him the most glory, then we need to know it's going to happen. But I'm telling you, we need to have faith and believe when we pray that he can do that if he wants to do that. And be able to understand that bold prayers are what allow him and allow us to see him and demonstrate what we believe about him. We can't be disappointed just because he doesn't answer one prayer for us. Listen, I'll just tell you, if you've sincerely prayed a prayer and asked God to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and be your Savior, if you've prayed that and repented of that and you've meant that with all sincerity, then I can just tell you, he's answered that prayer. Do you know that that's like the greatest miracle? Because we think that raising somebody from the dead would obviously be God showing off the most, right? If God brings somebody back from the dead and brings them to life, that would be the biggest thing he could ever do. Listen, every time somebody believes in Jesus as their Savior, somebody who was dead in their sins has been raised to new life. And not just life here on earth, but they've been raised to eternal life. It doesn't get any bigger and better than that. And so for some of us, the miracles we need to pray for, if we've never made that decision, would be for us to do that. But if you've prayed that prayer, then the biggest prayer that you can pray is that the other people will make the decision to accept Jesus and be saved and changed for eternity. That's a big prayer. That's a bold prayer. And that's a miracle prayer. And we need to be able to do it. The Bible gives us examples of incredible miracle prayers. I think about Joshua. In Joshua chapter 10, he's in this battle and he's leading the army of the Israelites into this war and this battle. And we see that they're winning. But the daylight is dwindling on them. And they're in this amazing fight. And Joshua just knows if they have a little bit more time, they can defeat this army and this battle is over. And so Joshua does something amazing in this. Let's look at Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. It says, on the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He didn't just pray. He didn't go behind a tent, y'all. You know, he didn't go behind a tent or a rock and pray this little prayer, God, you know, can you just do what I... No. He stood in front of all of them. He stood boldly in front of them and said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon. I mean, that's make the sun stop moving, right? I mean, we know that the earth goes around the sun, but you get what it means, right? That the sun, the day stays, it lingers. He prays that the sun will stand still and the moon stay in place. And here's the thing. So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. The sun stayed in the middle of the sky. It did not set on a normal day. There has never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Joshua prayed the most incredible, the most bold, the most miraculous prayer ever. That the earth would stop, the sun would stand still, the day would be extended, and the battle could be won. He prayed this amazing thing, and God answered his prayer. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, I'm going to pray that for me. I'm going to pray that prayer. I'm going to pray that the sun will stand still because I need to work a little bit longer, right? No one's ever prayed that prayer, right? But Joshua prayed it so that they could win this battle. He could pray so that this victory could be won. Does that mean that God's going to make the sun stand still for you every time? No. Does that mean that he's going to answer every miraculous prayer and bold prayer that you pray? No. But you need to understand that when he understands and he wants this to happen, when it lines up with his will and when there's something to be accomplished to bring him glory, listen, he will answer those prayers. We need to be able to pray that boldly and pray for those miracles because, hear me out, because we believe he's that kind of God. Now, maybe today you've been stuck on the prayers at dinner time. And you've got some really blessed food because you've prayed for dinner. All right? And so maybe that's your prayer life, to just have really blessed food. And that's cool. You know, that we need to have that. But let me just tell you that God wants to go way beyond your nutritious food. He wants to go way beyond that. He wants to do things in your life and in the lives and the world around you that are bigger than you can comprehend and that I can comprehend. He's asking us to pray bold prayers. He's praying for asking us to pray for the friends around us that need to know him. He's praying for our community around us that needs to have hope in their life. He's praying for our community that we'll be salt and we'll be light into it so that we can see him do great things. He's praying, he's wanting us to pray prayers so that he can move in ways that only he receives the glory for. Let me ask you, what kind of prayers are you praying? Are they selfish and all about you? Are they small? Just the most simple things in life, just you know the little stuff? Or are you praying for the big stuff? Listen, I want to tell you, maybe God won't answer the big prayers that I pray. And I pray some pretty big ones. I'm just going to tell you, I really don't have any problem with that. I pray some big honking prayers for so many of you in your lives. I really do. And I'm not just saying that. I'm just telling you that some stuff gets prayed for you that would probably blow your mind if you knew that I prayed it for you. Because I just see some stuff that, some talent and some gifts and things like that that just, that I don't think you know about in your own life and that could just do amazing things in our church and in our community and all of that. And so I pray big stuff for you guys. And so I'm just telling you, I pray that kind of prayer. Never had any trouble with that because I just believe he is a big God. I've seen him do great things and things that I didn't think he could do. He changed me. I didn't think he could do that. I just know that he can. And so I pray these bold prayers. And so my faith is that such that I can handle him just saying no to some stuff. Because I know that I pray big, all right? I just things in lives of people that just are so amazing, and it motivates me even more to pray big prayers. I pray big prayers for our church. I don't pray for a church of 1,000 or 10,000 or whatever. I don't pray any of that stuff. I just pray for a church that reaches 10,000. You get what I'm saying? There's a difference. You can want a big church, and that's really cool that you have a lot of people sitting in the seats, but I would much rather minister and reach people outside of here than just have a room full of you, all right? And so I hope that you take that the right way, because I want all of you here, and I would love to see the room full, and I won't ever complain about it until the room becomes full and we don't do anything with what we got, all right? So that's the prayers that I pray. And so I'm looking for us to do great things, to follow God, and to do things outside of here. And I pray that you pray those with me and that you get ready for it. But we have to be ready to do it. Listen to what Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says. After this prayer, the meeting place shook. I think if this place ever shook, you guys would get up under your chairs and be so afraid, you know, and I would be right there with you probably. We'd be so afraid. But the reality is that God was there in such power and presence that he shook the place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. With boldness. When was the last time you were just bold about something? Something that mattered. Something that changed somebody else's life. You just got so excited about it that you just couldn't stand to just hold it in anymore, and you just had to let it out. And you got to see God do something great. I believe that every one of us has that in us. So I'm gonna challenge you today. Here's what I want us to do and how I want us to end the service. Today I want you to think about a bold prayer that you need to pray. You already know God's been prompting you. He's been telling you need to do it. He's been asking you to do something, and you've run from it, you've hid from it. That he's put somebody in your life that you know you need to pray something big for. He's put some situation in your life that you know that unless you pray something big and miraculous for him or for that situation, that it's just not going to change. And so this morning, as we wrap up this series and this service, the band's going to come and they're going to play a song. And during that, I want you and me to be bold enough to get up out of our seat and come down and pray that prayer for whatever it is for you, to pray those prayers together and ask God to do something amazing. Here's what some of us maybe need to pray for first. Some of us need to pray, God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the times that I've fallen short of the standard you set according to your word. God, those things that have separated me from you. God, I want to pray today to receive your son Jesus, to be changed forever. I want you to forgive my sin. And I want to live my life with you in the center of it. That means you become a Christian, a Christ follower for the first time. Maybe that's the bold prayer you need to pray. For some of us, we need to pray bold prayers to just forgive us and put us back in the right relationship with him. To forgive us of our sins that we've got in our life so that he can hear the bold prayers that we pray. For some of us, we just need to come and we just need to get on our knees and just pray about for that person or that situation that we know we need to pray for. But may we be willing to pray bold prayers. And may we be willing to pray for miracles to see God do something great. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your love. God, thank you for your care. That when we have something in our hearts, something on our minds that we know that only you can fix, God, that we can bring that to you and know that you hear it and that you answer it. God, I pray in these moments as we pray these prayers together that you will hear our prayers and that you will change lives. God, I pray boldly for people to accept you today, to become followers of you, God, and to begin a brand new relationship with you. God, I pray for people to be reconciled to you, to be put back in a right relationship, to overcome sin and be willing to follow you. God, I pray today for people to acknowledge those people you've put in their life that they need to pray for. God, for those people that in their lives and surrounding them that they know need a touch from you. God, may we today come and pray boldly before you and believe that you hear it and that you answer it. God, you are God. You are the Creator. You are the One. And so, God, we can truly come to you, O Sovereign Lord, and know that you hear us and know that you want to move in these situations. So, God, today have freedom.